this man quietly sneaks up behind this other man, sticks a gun in his back, and says, "Give me all your money." The man, shocked by the attack, says, "Hold on a second. You do you not know who I am? Do you not watch television? I am a United States congressman. And not only that, haven't you seen me running for president?" "Oh," the thief said, "I'm sorry. In that case, give me all my money." There is a thief out there, and it's trying to steal not our money, but it's trying to take our happy. In fact, it's already taken some of our happy. And the thief I'm talking about isn't the one holding the gun. It's the other guy. And he's already taken some of our happy. He already owns part of our happy. And if we don't do something to stop it, it will keep on taking until we have very little, if any, happy left. And it's happening all over. So stay tuned, and I'll tell you what this congressman's name is.
This is Happy Life Studios.
This message is for you. This message is for you. This message is singular to you. It's not for anybody else. It's not hard to get. It's not hard to get. It's not hard to understand.
Hey, are you happy?
Now that's a great question.
Does the sun set high? Does the sun set high?
Welcome to Happy Life Studios.
Happy lifers. Thanks for joining us today. I am so happy that you did. You're road tripping with Steve-O today. I'm out here on another Happy Lifers back deck down here in not so sunny Southern California. It looks like Seattle out here. It's overcast. That's because I plan on bringing some California sun back with me to Seattle when I return. So I have to bring some Seattle down with me to trade it, right? And so it's looking a little bit like Seattle. But honestly, I love it. I don't mind the overcast. And I think it's good for all you happy lifers down in Southern California because it makes you appreciate the sun all the more. But like I said, to me, it's perfect out here. I got my Dodgers hoodie on that I got when I came down here and someone took me to a Dodgers game. I got a bag of M&Ms here. I'm sitting on this beautiful deck, and I'm staring at their little pond waterfall behind me. You might even be able to hear that in the background. Some birds are chirping. The temperature is perfect. It's just beautiful out here. And so I thought that I would bring you along with me. But you're probably thinking, I don't really care where you're at, Steve-O. What's the name of this congressman? All right. Since you asked, I will tell you. Actually, since I told you I would tell you, I will tell you. That congressman's name, ready?
3, 2, 1.
Is Doubt.
What?
D-O-U-B-T, Doubt.
You gotta be kidding me.
And you're probably thinking, why in the world would anybody, let alone myself, elect Doubt? I would never do so. But truth is, we all have, because every one of us has some doubt in our lives. We have elected some doubt, but that's okay, because doubt not only is in our lives, but we need it in our lives.
Down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Doubt happens. You're not going to stop it. And not only does doubt happen, we actually need it. Consolations by David White, W-H-Y-T-E. It's a book that I got from my son for Christmas, and it's a fantastic book. Page 38, it's a chapter called Denial, and it's exactly what I'm saying about how we need doubt in our lives. David White says, denial is ever present and unavoidable in a human life. He also says that denial is deeply underestimated as a state of being. Denial, fully experienced, also enables us to understand the full measure of our reluctance to be here, thus becoming a pathway to self-knowledge. End quote. Doubt is something that we elect because we need doubt in our life. It's natural. Doubt is going to happen. It's what we do when doubt does happen that determines whether we're going to be happy or not, that determines whether it is going to steal our happy from us, that determines whether we're going to be successful in that endeavor or even in life or not. Not that doubt happens, but when it happens, what we do with it. And the way I see it, there's two things that you can do when it comes to doubt. I mean, I'm sure there's so many other things, but of all the things that you can do with doubt, really, I think they all break down into these two basic things. Number one, you can turn and run in fear from doubt. Or number two, you can face doubt with bravery and improve your situation, even improve your life. Let me put it this way. Some mornings when I stay in bed longer than my cat would like, my cat will come up and scratch at my door, letting me know he wants in. And when he comes in, he meows and jumps up on the bed with me. And there's really just two reasons he will do that. And I know which of those two reasons, what they are, by his actions. Just like the two things I said we can do with doubt. Can you hear that? That's my cat. That's Wiley Coyote. I recorded him purring as I was lying in my bed writing this on my phone. He came knocking, scratching. So I opened up the door and I let him in, and he did action number one. He jumped up on the bed, said good morning, well, meowed good morning, right? What he also does in action number two. But the difference between action one and action two is what he does next. This morning, as you could tell by what I just played for you, he laid down next to me and started purring because he just wanted to be in the room with me. But the other reason he'll come up and jump on my bed and start meowing next to me, it's reason number two. He's telling me that he's out of food. And I can tell that by his action of not staying on the bed long at all. He'll keep meowing to me until he jumps off the bed, which lasts about a whole 10 seconds. He's telling me he wants me to get my butt out of bed, and I mean immediately, as in yesterday, and go downstairs and get him his food now. He literally comes in, jumps up on the bed, meows at me, and when I try to pet him, that's when he shows why he came to my door in the first place. And this morning, he's not even in reach of me. I can't even reach him. He's laying on the bed, and he's purring, and he's not even within reach of me petting him, which tells me he just wants to be in the room with me. So when I pet him, he'll either be content and lay there and purr, or he will anxiously jump off the bed and decide, wait, I'm in the wrong room. My food is downstairs and I need to be there now. And you need to be there with me. And that is exactly what doubt is like. It can either be your friend that wants to jump up next to you. It's purring on the bed next to you, on your comfortable place with you, and is just content to be there with you in your comfortable place. Or it can be that thing trying to get you out of bed, trying to get you out of your place of comfort, your place of peace, and get you to overreact and do it right now. I mean, it would be absolutely fine if my cat was just telling me, hey, when you get around to it, when you finally get up, get your lazy bones out of bed, I'm kind of hungry. And I could use some food, but that's not what he does. And that's exactly what reason number two does. That's when Wiley Coyote goes looking for the Roadrunner. Yeah, his name is Wiley, so I call him Wiley Coyote.
Meep, meep.
And he's always in pursuit of the Roadrunner, and he never catches the Roadrunner. And he's always getting rocks falling on him, and, you know, Wiley Coyote in the cartoon series when we were kids that we used to watch. And that's what will happen with doubt if we give into reason number one, which is to panic, to overreact, to run in fear from it.
Me, me.
But doubt can be positive. It's trying to tell us something. Just like my cat who comes up and jumps on my bed with me. How we interpret that voice, my cat's voice, how I interpret that voice determines whether or not we will do number one or number two. Whether the cat is going to, when we try to pet it, whether it's going to jump off the bed and say, you need to go right now and you need to overreact, or just going to lay on bed and say, I don't even need you to pet me. I just want to be here. Like when doubt comes in, you can either interpret that voice that doubt inside your brain as saying, you can't do this. You'll never be able to do this. Or you can see that doubt is only showing you that there's a challenge ahead, that this might be difficult, that we are going to run into some roadblocks. But having a challenge is something that could be conquered if it is accepted. Doubt can be a positive thing. There's a Persian proverb that says, doubt is the key to knowledge. In fact, that's why I'm doing this episode in the first place. Because one morning I was playing my game, Word Cookies. Actually, it was one of those mornings when I stayed in bed for a little bit longer than I normally would. And I was playing Word Cookies, and it had a phrase on there that you can guess, and that phrase was that. Doubt is a key to knowledge. It didn't even make sense to me. I didn't even like that. I thought that was wrong. I thought it was false. I'm like, doubt is not the key to knowledge because doubt is a negative thing. That's what I thought until I decided to look that phrase up. And I found out that it was a Persian proverb. So when I was looking up the phrase, I came across this website, markedbyteachers.com, and I will leave the link in the show notes. And it said, quote, doubt is the key to knowledge, states a Persian proverb. A seeker of knowledge must have a balanced amount of doubt in order to come to reasonable conclusion. Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty which often leads to questioning. Skepticism is popularly used with doubt in the search for knowledge. With too little skepticism, a person is seen as not only gullible, but perhaps also as stupid. Moreover, reliable knowledge becomes much harder to obtain. On the other hand, too much doubt can make the individual seem stubborn. This rejects the possibility of gaining any new knowledge. In most areas of knowledge, a larger amount of skepticism is the key to knowledge. Arts require skepticism to gain personal knowledge, whereas the sciences demand doubt in order to answer important questions. There are advantages and disadvantages of different levels of skepticism, end quote. So markedbyteachers.com calls that doubt skepticism. The book I read earlier, Consolations by David White, calls the doubt I'm talking about denial. Me, I like to call it pondering. And pondering is good. In fact, it's in my life mission. I've mentioned it before, but I am here to help, and it's an acronym. I'm here to bring healing. I'm here to encourage. I'm here to make people laugh, and I'm here to make people ponder. Pondering is good. It gets us to places that we can't get without pondering, better places. According to clevelandclinic.org, quote, your immune system is made up of organs and cells meant to protect your body from bacteria, parasites, viruses, and cancer cells. An autoimmune disease is the result of the immune system accidentally attacking your body instead of protecting it, end quote. Cleveland Clinic goes on to describe our immune system being like an army that protects our castle, which is us, it's our body, right? But protects our castle from things like bacteria, parasites, cancer cells, etc. Then the army all of a sudden attacks the castle. That's what an autoimmune disease is. And there are over 100 of these, what we call autoimmune diseases. Doubt is a part of our immune system. In the right amount, doubt is good for us. It's healthy. Just like the congressman, doubt that we elected in our lives to help protect us, stand up for us, teach us, show us things that we wouldn't see otherwise. Doubt is just like that. Doubt is good. It's meant to protect us from doing stupid things, from doing dangerous things that might harm us. It's meant to teach us and show us things. That's what pondering does. It shows us things. It teaches things. It gets us to places. That's why we elect it. That's why we have doubt in our lives. But when there's too much of it, when we allow it to overtake us, it turns on the castle and begins to attack that castle. Like a congressman that we elect to help us. Whenever they forget why they were elected, whenever they stop thinking about those that they represent and instead start thinking about themselves, they stop protecting us and they start stealing from us instead. It becomes an autoimmune disease that attacks instead of protects and helps. Too much doubt, it causes us to overthink. Overthinking wears our brain out. Overthinking causes stress. Stress wears our brain out. Doubt feeds on itself voraciously. It makes us negative. It makes us unhappy. And there's so many more things that doubt will do. But the biggest, scariest negative thing about too much doubt is this. When you doubt so much, you no longer have a foundation anymore. Imagine if you don't have a home for a place to rest your head or to put your stuff, a place to relax and be yourself without any fear or worry. And that's not a house, that's a home. When you can rest there and be truly be yourself, doubts and all, and not have to worry about how people are going to accept you, you just are automatically accepted. That's the difference between a house and a home. And that's exactly what happens to us mentally and emotionally between a house and a home. If we don't have that, it's a tough way to live. And I'm not even talking about being without a house here. I'm talking about being without a place that we can call home, a place that we can go back to, a place that we can be ourselves and feel safe in. And that's exactly what happens to us mentally and emotionally if we question everything all the time. That's what I see is going on. This congressman called Doubt has forgotten why it's elected. And it's no longer helping us. It's hurting us. It's stealing from us. And it's time to stop it and take that happy back. This whole movement we have, the deconstruction movement, and this is nothing new. Deconstruction has been around for quite a while. It's been around for decades. But according to Britannica.com, quote, in popular usage, the term has come to mean a critical dismantling of tradition and traditional modes of thought, end quote. Deconstruction can be helpful. It can be good. But not when we try to deconstruct everything in our lives, and it feels like there's so much out there today that tearing everything down. In fact, politicians get elected by deconstructing the other politician. What kind of race is that? You're going to plan your race on to not be the other guy? I mean, when I see an ad that says something along the lines of, try our food, we're better than McDonald's. Well, guess what? I'm going to McDonald's. I mean, don't try to deconstruct the other guys. Make us pick you because you're deconstructing the other guys. And that's what's going on right now. There's so much of this going on. It seems to be the end thing these days. And truth is, if you look hard enough, you can find brokenness in anything, in everything. Just like that article that said, it's healthy to doubt, to question, to have skepticism. It's when you have too much that your mind becomes homeless. It no longer has a place to call home. When you question every truth, every system, every tradition that's out there, you no longer have a firm footing to go back to. And that is a terrible, unhappy way to live. So I'm not saying don't question. Don't be skeptical. Don't ponder. It's my life mission to ponder and to help other people ponder. That's healthy. Just don't question everything at once. Just don't try to tear down the whole thing. Yeah, everything has brokenness in it, but that doesn't mean the entire thing is broken. For instance, we all have brokenness in us. We all are on our journey to becoming better people, to becoming whole people. Just because I have brokenness in me doesn't mean you throw out my life, you throw out who I am, you will no longer be my friend because I'm broken. Truth is, we're all broken. We all have things in us that don't work right, that don't work the way they should. They are not complete. That doesn't mean we throw the rest of that human being out because of part of them isn't working the way they'd want it to be, the way we'd want it to be. You don't have to throw something out just because there's brokenness in it. Like I said, if you look hard enough, you're going to find something wrong with everything you look at. Nothing is flawless, especially us. Nothing is flawless, especially us. Here's a good, healthy question that we should ask ourselves, in my opinion. This question right here. What if someone critiqued us and what we do as hard as we critique other people, other things, other systems? Diane Sawyer. I remember seeing her on all these TV programs when I was younger, where she'd dig up garbage on people. And she always would say the same thing at the end about the people that she's been attacking her entire. She set up this, she spent, you know, days, maybe even weeks putting together this whole episode, finding all this evidence on them. And then knocks on the door of the company or whatever, the person's house, and they say they refuse to comment, making it sound like that means that they were guilty. when in reality, they couldn't win if they talked. It's like they were set up. I'm not saying that they didn't do it. I'm simply saying that no matter what they say, they have all these cameras there filming them, can edit them later to say whatever they want them to say. They're pointing their fingers at them. We just spent a whole hour watching all this facts about what these people supposedly did and didn't do, right? And now you're going to ask them some questions. You're going to fire away at them. Why would anyone volunteer to comment on that? Even if they were innocent, they would be declared guilty. Otherwise, it would ruin the whole show. But the problem with that is this principle of you reap what you sow. You harvest what you plant. I guarantee you, if we dug, we could dig up garbage on Diane Sawyer and make her look like a villain. That's what a lot of these shows do and have done. And I believe it's created this environment in us today of deconstruction. Well, we deconstruct everything. And it's a deconstruction of negativity criticism, not critique criticism. In fact, the word criticism to me is negative. Critique is positive. Funny thing is, I searched Diane Sawyer online because I wanted to see the name of the shows that she used to do this stuff on. I couldn't remember what they were. And right there by the names of the shows was information. Right away, I found it immediately when I searched her name, that she used to be on Richard Nixon's staff. And I don't know if you're old enough or if you remember Richard Nixon, but he was a president that was caught in the Watergate scandal. I was just a kid then, but it was so huge that I remember it from being just a little kid. Watergate was huge, and Diane Sawyer was on his staff. I'm not saying that Diane Sawyer was a part of Watergate, but I'm saying if someone did to her what I think she does to so many other people, you could easily make her look like she was a part of Watergate. Shoot, the way a lot of society is anymore with this mentality that I'm talking about today, they could make her look responsible for Watergate. But truth is, she helped ex-president Richard Nixon with his post-presidency memoirs. For all I know, that might be the role she played on the staff to talk about Watergate and let Richard Nixon share his side of the story. Who knows? I don't. And it really isn't that important to me to find out. Because I don't want to deconstruct somebody else to make myself look better. I'm better than McDonald's. Let me deconstruct you so I can feel better about my life. That old adage that talks about when you point your finger at somebody, you got three more pointing back at you. It's not that important to me. I say, why can't we live and let live? This whole deconstruction where we negatively criticize everything that's out there, it is so easy to find negative criticism about somebody. It's easy to dig up garbage on somebody, but it's also easy to dig up things that they're doing right. One leads down a path where it steals our happy, and the other one leads down a path where we get our happy back. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. I just didn't know how to put it all together. And then when I'm laying there in bed, thinking about it, writing things down on my phone, my cat jumps up on my bed, and I realize that doubt is good too. Listen, don't buy into the story that a lot of forces are trying to push, where you got to make yourself feel better by deconstructing something else. Stop. Yes, it's broken. Yes, it's okay to have some skepticism, to have some pondering in your life, but not everything. And we don't have to throw the whole thing out or say that person is absolutely evil because look at this one thing that they've done. Man, I'm just telling you, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You harvest what you plant. And if we want to live in negative critique of other people, and we want to deconstruct other people, and we want to deconstruct systems, no system is perfect out there. I get it. A lot of systems are broken. But that doesn't mean we need to throw it all out all the time. There needs to be a balance to doubt. Doubt can either be our friend trying to keep us from doing something stupid or dangerous, from hurting ourselves. Doubt can be our friend to help us explore something, to learn something. Doubt can help protect us, or doubt can steal from us and injure us and take away our happy. There's a balance there somewhere. And as far as I'm concerned, I am constantly trying to find that balance. I don't want to just ever say, well, no, nothing's wrong. We just keep doing things as we've always done them. You never get better at that point. but I also am not going to, I'm going to try my best anyway, to not attack people, to not destroy people, to not just get so negative on other people, because that steals my happy.
Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy, and you will be happy too.
In that case, give me all my happy then. Thanks for listening. I hope that made sense, and I hope it helps. Remember, life is full of doubt, but that doesn't mean we can't be happy.
D-Base.